Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. Today I am joined, indeed, by NBA champ Kendrick Perkins and our insider, Malika Andrews, with the best bobblehead in the business behind her. Zach Lowe, also going to join us later in the show. Coming up, Kyrie Irving. Four straight games now he's missed due to personal reasons. The Nets say they don't have an exact date for his return. What is his standing in the organization right now? Stick around for that. First, though, have you ever played charades? Have you ever had one of those turns where you try acting out, say, the overall movie title, and when that doesn't work, you try going word by word, pretzeling yourself into a series of undignified positions, only to have time run out, and you scream at your teammates, "Dances with Wolves, people! That was so obvious!" That is exactly what it felt like watching James Harden at post-game media podium last night. For more than a month, the man has been trying everything to telestrate what he has been thinking. I mean, it's not like he just didn't report to training camp on time. He didn't report to camp on time, as he instead went on a three-state tour of various clubs and nighttime establishments, posting social media of himself along the way. When that didn't get him traded, he went to a friend's party, again, maskless, indoors, in direct violation of the NBA's protocol. At least the league noticed that and fined him. Still, all we heard from the Rockets and their management was that they wanted James to play games for them, the hope being that if he actually got on the court with new acquisitions like John Wall, Boogie Cousins, Christian Wood, maybe he'd change his mind on wanting out. Narrator, he did not change his mind. And again, he has been acting that out. The Rockets have lost four of their last five, in large part because Harden has been a shadow of his usual point-scoring, foul-drawing, step-back self. He scored 20 points or fewer four games in a row, the first time that's happened since he was coming off the bench in OKC back in 2012. And last night? Well, if last night wasn't rock bottom, I'd hate to see what is. By the end of the first quarter, the Lakers, already up 35-14, basically treating the game as an and-one showcase. Check out Montrezl Harrell and THT, each just cleaning up each other's misses with some rim rattling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that's nice. Then with the Lakers up 21, LeBron James turned the disrespect up to 11. He hit a pump fake three that he didn't even bother to watch fall. And why, may you ask, did LeBron turn to his bench in particular? Well, let him and Dennis Schroeder tell you what happened.
Well, my teammate, hit me with a bet on the sideline, and I took the bet while I was still shooting the ball.
I told him to bet a Benjamin on it, he shot it, or took a dribble, shot it, and turned around and said, "Bet," then it went in, and it's just legendary.
You said, "Bet you won't make it." And in order to make a bet official, you either got to have a handshake or you got to look a man in the eye. So he said, "Bet it." And I turned around, looked him in the eye, and I said, "Bet it."
I can't even. I mean, that's incredible. And in years past, we would have seen at least an attempt at an incredible response from James Harden. Look, you can say what you want about the style James plays, his ability to be clutch in the playoffs, but you cannot deny that out of the 7.7 billion people on this green earth, he is one of the very, very best at playing the basketball. He is an Iron Man who rarely misses games. He is a walking playoff berth. And yet last night, with the defending champs literally making a mockery of Houston's home court, Harden barely lifted a finger. He loped lazy passes. He didn't move on defense. After the game, Coach Steven Silas said, quote, "They're having fun at our expense. It doesn't feel good at all. We should take umbrage. It's like the Lakers were dancing on our home court." But it was what Harden said post-game that spoke the loudest. Clearly, finally tired of trying to act out his feelings, Harden just came out and said what we've all known he's been thinking for more than a month.
"We're just not good enough. Obviously chemistry, talent wise, just everything. And it was clear, I love this city. I literally, have done everything that I can. This situation is crazy. It's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, thanks."
Okay, then. John Wall was up next, and while he didn't want to comment on what Harden said specifically, he did say that, quote, "When you have certain guys in the mix that don't want to buy in all as one, it's hard to do anything special." Then when asked about his relationship with Harden, here's what he did say.
I think it's been a little rocky. Can't lie about that. I mean, I don't think it's been the best it could be, to be honest. That's all I really can say.
By this morning, the Rockets had clearly had enough. Harden was told not to come to practice, with Coach Steven Silas telling reporters, quote, "We felt it was best for the group and best for James." While Boogie Cousins said the disrespect, quote, "isn't something that all of a sudden started last night." Boogie added, "it's completely unfair to the rest of the guys in the locker room." So, what happens next? ESPN is reporting the Rockets are in active, serious trade conversations with both Philadelphia and Brooklyn as we speak. So maybe we'll see a Harden deal as soon as today, or maybe it'll be a week or next month. Regardless, it is clear now how this story is going to end. Sounds like James Harden won't be in Houston much longer. So, Perk, where do you think the Rockets go from here?
Well, Rachel, you know, I think that the James Harden will probably never wear a Houston Rockets jersey again, especially not this season or the next two seasons. He keeps saying that he wants to retire as a Rocket, and I get that because he's done a lot for this organization. He's done a lot for this city. But, you know, a wise man told me when I was young, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And what James Harden did yesterday by throwing his teammates under the bus, undervaluing them, treating them like they're what they're not good enough. Well, actually saying it is a problem. And right now the Rockets are taking the right steps. I just read a report that said that Steven Silas said that James will be home for the remainder of the period until they find a trade. And that's the right move. They have to trade James Harden, and they need to trade him fast.
Yeah, I mean, if that wasn't enough, what happened last night, Steven Silas, when he was asked today whether or not that he thought the situation was reconcilable, he said, I don't know. And that's pretty much as close that coaches come to saying, no, this just isn't going to work out. But what sticks out to me, Rachel and Perk, when I look at what James Harden said last night, it's where is the responsibility on his part for what he's calling, quote, craziness that's going on, whether that's on the court, the statistics that you refer to, Rachel, or whether that's all of the stuff that they've been putting up with that James Harden has been doing off of the court. And if recent history has told us anything about stars that are unhappy in their markets. I'm thinking about Jimmy Butler in Minnesota. I'm thinking about Anthony Davis when he was in New Orleans. Whether or not it gets to be to the point that it is volatile, it doesn't work out. These stars move on. They move forward. Eventually, they get what they want. They tried. The Rockets tried. They asked James Harden to come back. They had a couple of games with him on the court, and it did not work out. The only way that I see this going from here on out, Perk said it, they're headed towards a divorce.
Yeah, and it's not just the sort of situation right now that he said it's not working. Malika, how do you see James' self-awareness overall impacting the situation?
Well, I think that it's playing a part in it. It's hard when you're listening to John Wall, when you're listening to DeMarcus Cousins, hearing them say that this isn't the first time that the disrespect has shown up. This isn't the first time that they're feeling this way. It's hard to want to go out on the court and be focused on performing as a unit when you have one guy saying that this just isn't good enough. Oh, and by the way, that one guy is your franchise player. That's where the question comes up of whether or not James Harden can put himself into a 20,000-foot position and say, hey, looking down on the situation, I see my role in it. I see how I am impacting my teammates. I see the role that I am playing here, and I need to leave so that they can continue. Right now, it looks like James is putting everything out and not turning the mirrors back in on himself.
Perk, where would you rather him go? He's rumored to be going to either Brooklyn or Philadelphia. Where would you rather see him?
Well, to be honest with me, I think the best fit for the Rockets is for James to go to Philly because they're going to probably get back Ben Simmons. And James in Philadelphia, along with how Joel Embiid is playing right now, Danny Green is playing awesome, Seth Curry is playing a elite basketball, and coached under Doc Rivers, they will be really dangerous in the Eastern Conference, and it will make it that more competitive to the Milwaukee Bucks to the Brooklyn Nets. The reason that I would, if I'm James, I wouldn't want to go to the Brooklyn Nets because I don't know what's going on with Kyrie. You going there to think that you're going to play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and then all of a sudden Kyrie Irving, you get in the first round of the playoffs and no one hears from him. He's nowhere to be found. So if I'm James, I'm looking at structure. I'm looking at what's going on, and I'm evaluating both of these ball clubs. And right now, Philly looks like the best ball club for him to go to.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Perk, because we are going to get back to the Rockets later in the show. But I do want to debut our latest jump show within a show. Oh, yes. It's Brooklyn 7-1-1. Yep, we're chronicling the story of the Nets season led by their superstars, Kevin Durant, number 7, Kyrie Irving, number 11. Let's start with KD, who dropped 34 points last night in the Nets win. That helped him pass three legends of the game, Elgin Baylor, Dwayne Wade, Adrian Dantley on the all-time scoring list. By the way, I just want to point out our control room is really hampered right now. They don't have the right video and graphics coming in, so please, everyone give them a shout out. They're doing a good job. I want to point out Kevin Durant also just shy of a triple-double. As for Kyrie Irving, he missed his fourth straight game due to personal reasons last night. And look, the league is reviewing the video you just saw, him at a family party, to see how recent it is and if it's a violation of COVID protocol. Meanwhile, Nets general manager releasing a statement on Kyrie that read, quote, "We are aware of a video on social media featuring Kyrie Irving at a family gathering. We are reviewing the circumstances, and we are seeing if they determine compliance with the health and safety protocols." Kyrie remains away from the team, and the date of his return yet to be finalized. In the meantime, we will continue to stay focused on organizational goals. And this is the key sentence. Kyrie will have the opportunity to address his absence when he is ready to do so. Translation, we're not going to say it. He's going to have to say it. Meanwhile, when the Nets were playing last night, this photo of Kyrie on a Zoom call for a candidate for the Manhattan District Attorney surfaced. So this call was last night. Malika, you've been covering the Nets. What standing is Kyrie in with the organization right now?
The honest answer, Rachel, is I'm not totally sure. And I say that because I read the statement from Sean Marks, too, and that line stood out to me that they are not going to be coming in and speaking on behalf of Kyrie Irving. They are very much leaving this for him to speak on for himself. He needs to answer to where, why, when, how we got to this place. That's not something that the Nets are going to be coming in and saying. And the sentiment that I've heard both on and off the record over and over from players, from coaches, from folks in the front office with the Brooklyn Nets is we just need to focus on what's going on in this building. We need to focus on what's going on in Barclays Center. And guess what? Kyrie Irving right now is not in Barclays Center. But I'm sure Perk can speak a little bit better to this than I can. If I am a teammate of Kyrie Irving's and I am doing my job, showing up to work every day, at the very least, when Kyrie Irving does come back, there is some sort of explanation that not only should he be giving to reporters so that fans can understand what led to this, but more importantly to his teammates. And the only way, in my mind, for him to continue to have this work, because remember, earlier in the season, when Kyrie Irving was not speaking to reporters, the team said, we're fine with it because he is wonderful to us in practice. He is a leader. He is great on the court. He is showing up for games. He is carrying us. This is why we brought him here, to play amazing basketball. And so he needs to mend whatever is going on in the locker room, making sure that he is being consistent with that communication that Steve Nash and the players have continued to say they want to keep private. That is where he needs to start when he does return, which we know, as Adrian Wojnarowski and I reported, is not expected to be this week.
And here it is, you right on the money. And they got that old saying, yes, I got my old soul cap on today. You made your bed, now you got to lay in it. I love what Sean Marks and the organization of the Nets are doing and saying, no, Kyrie, you have to man up and you have to answer to this, not only to the media and the outside world, but to your teammates, as just like Malika just said. Because here it is, for the simple fact that you leave, you don't give anybody a warning, you just don't show up to the game, you're not communicating with no one in the front office, no one on the coaching staff, no one, none of your teammates. If I'm a teammate, I feel disrespected. But Are we surprised? No, I'm not. Not one bit, because I've been said this about Kyrie. And you know what's the bad part about it? Is that it's so many people in the world today, right? Just think, even in our network, co-workers, great people that lost their jobs because of the pandemic, that are trying to find work, yep. Hard-working everyday people that don't have jobs. Here you are getting paid $35 million to show up to work and play the game of basketball, and you can't do that. Another thing, you are the vice president of the Players Association. Mm-hmm. So look, that makes the Players Association look bad. You know why? Because you're doing things on your own again, without communicating with others, without telling people that you're supposed to be leading, and just going off and doing your own thing, and it's not a good look. And to be honest with y'all, if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'm looking to trade Kyrie Irving right now, because I just never know with this guy. You never know what you're going to get from him. And if you're a contender, a title contender, a team that's trying to win a championship, you definitely don't want someone that's not all in or may just, you know, disappear in the course of the playoffs and no one can find him. That's just unacceptable.
Well, Perk, I can certainly speculate that that has crossed the mind of the Nets brass. But as you know, look, Kyrie came with Kevin Durant as a package deal. So if the Nets ever did want to trade Kyrie Irving, they would have to get Kevin Durant's blessing. And at least so far with Kevin's public comments, it certainly doesn't seem that he feels it has reached that threshold. He has been supportive of Kyrie, although he has also made the point, Kyrie is going to have to explain all this to you for himself. Welcome back. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside Kendrick Perkins, and we are thrilled now to welcome in ESPN senior NBA insider, Zach Lowe. So guys, COVID issues striking again. The NBA officially postponing the Hawks-Suns game scheduled for tonight. Jazz Wizards, Magic Celtics, those had previously been postponed as well. Now Magic forward Aaron Gordon tweeted this: it's starting to get janky. I'd be cool with a bubble if it was in the Bahamas or Hawaii and we got to bring our family, wife or girlfriend. The jump in Hawaii does have a nice ring to it, just saying. Yesterday, the league introduced some new COVID protocols, like forbidding players from leaving the team hotel when they're on the road. No, let's say just special guests are allowed to visit. No inter-team interaction before or after the game. And more restrictions on who can be maskless during games, as well as restrictions on what players can do at home, who they can see, what they can leave their house for. NBA vet George Hill, not thrilled about these new guidelines. Take a listen.
I'm a grown man, so I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to go see my family, I'm going to go see my family. They can't tell me I have to stay in a room 24/7. If it's that serious, then maybe we shouldn't be playing. But, you know, it's life. No one's going to be able to just cancel their whole life for this game, and that's how I think about it.
Zach, I want to make the point that the NBA has not had to postpone these games because there has been a huge rash of players actually testing positive for coronavirus. A lot of the postponements have happened because contact tracing, right? One guy gets it, and they determine that there have been enough teammates in close enough contact, they have to sit them for a week, so there isn't some huge rash of COVID spreading around the league. Well, what they have tried to do with these rules is eliminate close contact points, right? So that there won't be contact tracing absences on teams if one guy tests positive. But you heard George Hill. Does he have a point as a counter to all of that in terms of just his personal liberty experience seeing his family?
He has a point on two levels. Number one, this is going to be mentally straining. I mean, I guess it's a first world problem. These are five-star hotels and all this, but to be cooped up and isolated, it's a version of the very real mental strain and anxiety that players felt in the bubble. That's a real thing. And his point of maybe we shouldn't be playing, I think that's actually a reasonable question. Clearly everybody, including the players union, who by the way has signed on to all of this from the beginning, has made a decision that we're gonna play. Now players can opt out of the season. He would have to sacrifice a huge amount of money to do that, but it's on the table. But I don't think it's unreasonable for him to ask, hey, wait a second, is this really safe? What are we going to learn about how this virus may or may not spread during basketball games? We think we know some stuff. How much stuff do we really know? So I think he's raising some real concerns. The whole I can do what I want thing, well, you actually can't because the union and the league bargained all these rules. And if you do some of that stuff, you can get fined and punished for it. That's sort of unrealistic on his part. But I don't think the general question he's raising is crazy or ridiculous.
Well, I do, Zach. And look, I love George Hill. He's a great friend of mine, great individual, right? And I get it. He is a grown man. But we're talking about trying to keep people safe in the workplace so we won't have to postpone games. And the league is trying to tighten it up so they don't have to go and use a bubble. And here's the thing. It's not just about the players. It's not just about the coaches. But people have to realize you have the medical staff. You have the training staff. You have all these people that work behind the scenes and work for these organizations that depend on work, that depend on their salary to feed their families. So although I get what George Hill is saying about him being a grown man and him wanting to do what he want to do, it's not about you, G. Hill. It's about the others that haven't got paid millions of dollars that actually need this money. So when you think about or when you say things like this, don't just think about the players and yourself. Think about the guys that are washing your jerseys. Think about the people that are putting the shoes in your lockers and making sure you have everything that you need. The training staff that are taping your ankles. Those are the people that matters too. So when you talk about situations like this, it don't just affect the players and coaches. It affects everyone.
And I would say, Perk, that's such a great point. It's also a great point about George Hill. I think he has so much respect from everyone around the league. This doesn't change that. But I would say to all players, anyone associated with teams right now, at this point, we all know the issues, right? We all know the risk and reward. We know how much money would be lost if the NBA shut down for a significant amount of time. We know that the people involved in running the NBA have decided they would like that business and that money to continue. And if you are someone who is just out there speculating, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't be playing, you've got all the information. And you can decide personally, as Zach pointed out, that you don't want to be playing and forfeit your salary. You could be a voice in the union to say we should all shut down and I'm willing to lose all this money for everyone. But to just sort of throwing it out there at this point, I think we have all of the parameters down. And the union has made a decision to go forward. And frankly, George has made a decision to go forward. So the speculation sometimes doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I do want to get back to the action. Joel Embiid had a monster 45-point, 16-rebound game last night in an overtime win over the Heat. Both teams extremely depleted rosters, but sometimes that's fun, right? It turns into a game like this. What is the biggest takeaway from Embiid's performance last night, Perk?
Everything. He is playing like an MVP, and not just last night, Rachel, but when you look over the course of the season, he's been playing some of the best basketball of his career on his offensive end and the defensive end. And I said this before the season started when they hired Doc Rivers, that Joel Embiid will flourish well under Doc Jordan did when he was with the Clippers. And when you watched the game last night, the biggest takeaway that I got from that is that Doc Rivers didn't say, Joel, go on the block and post up. Doc Rivers let him be himself. It was times where he was running the point. I saw a lot of 1-2 dribble pull-ups. I saw a lot of, you know, facing up, taking guys off the dribble, pulling up on the baseline, like Euro stepping, getting to the hole. So he's letting Embiid be himself. He's not saying, go to the block and I'm going to demand you to post up. No, long as you can go out there and get me 45 and 16 and we win the game, do it however you need to do it. And that's the thing that I took away from the game last night.
I'll go a step further than Perk even said. He's not just playing like an MVP. 11, 12 games into the season, for whatever that's worth, he is the MVP. And he's not just playing some of the best basketball of his career. He's playing the best basketball of his career, period. He's almost a 50-40-90 shooter right now. Career highs in shooting across the board. Mm-hmm. The defense hasn't suffered. The free throws are still there. This Joel Embiid, fully engaged, looks like he's in great shape. This is the guy we've been waiting to see ever since he came off the court weeping in Toronto that they had lost Game 7 and vowing that he never wanted to feel that way again. This is a guy who's taking control of his career, his destiny, and taking control of his franchise at an MVP level.
Yeah, and we heard the changes he said he made in the offseason, diet, nutritionist, chef, all of that stuff. And frankly, we've heard a little bit from Joel previously, right? Zach, you and I both sat with him after that Toronto series going into the next season where he vowed to be different, and it didn't quite pan out. So to see him execute the way he has wanted to in a way he hasn't before, it's been really fun. Joel Embiid is so good for the NBA. He's so good for basketball. The way he plays, the emotion, the joy he plays with, getting to watch him excel is good for the league. It creates so much fun competition in the East. And who knows? Maybe a James Harden trade is in Joel Embiid's future, and he'll have a new running mate that is still on the blocks. Right. As we continue with this show, we're going to keep talking about what's going on in Houston because the news keeps coming. And look, the beef with the Rockets that James has, it does seem to be impacting his play. So we're going to look more closely at what's changed for Harden on the court. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, Zach Lowe, Kendra Perkins aboard, resetting our top story. James Harden said last night, the current situation with the Rockets is crazy and cannot be fixed. And in fact, Coach Stephen Silas said today, James Harden not welcome at practice anymore. We will continue to see how this develops as trade talks heat up with Brooklyn and Philadelphia. But judging by his recent play, James does not seem engaged the way he always has been in the past. After averaging 37 over his first three games, Harden's average has dropped to 17 a game over his last five. So, Zach, what has changed for Harden on the court?
True story, Rachel. I was watching that game last night, and halfway through it, I started texting people around the league. I wonder if this is James Harden's last game as a Rocket. That's how checked out he was. That's how bad the body language was. Look, his isolations are way down. His pick and rolls are way down. This is a guy who commandeered every single offensive possession when he was really engaged. Step back threes, drives. Anytime he saw Anthony Davis within 10 feet of the rim last night, he was passing out. No desire to go up through contact, no desire to get to the line. You can say he's being deferential to John Wall, deferential to Christian Wood, trying to get other people involved. He's averaging like 10 assists a game. That's all great. When has James Harden been deferential to anyone? This is not the James Harden we've come to know, we've come to enjoy watching, or maybe not enjoy watching, depending on your taste. This is just not the same player. It's very obvious. All you need to do is watch the games. Something is not right. I suspect it's a whole confluence of things, starting with his care factor and his desire to be a part of the Rockets.
Absolutely. And another thing is, when is the last time James Harden played in the actual system, right? When you look at D'Antoni's style of play up and down, allowing James Harden to get 10 dribbles, you know, a possession or to get to the basket or put a guy on the island and isolate him. Well, now you have Coach Stephen Silas actually running sets. You know, he's running sets with his player movement, ball movement, may go to the post from time to time. And James Harden is not used to that. He's already disgruntled and don't want to be there. And one thing that you can always look at and see what's going on and see the temperature is body language. And his body language says it all. It says, I do not want to be here. I saw James Harden at least 6 or 7 times yesterday standing in the corner and not involved in the offense. He don't want to be there. We all know this, and now he's showing that. And that's what's affecting this game. If your mind is not right going into a basketball game, I don't care what's on your mind in the outside world, you're not going to perform at the highest level.
And look, Zach, there's been differing opinions on whether James acting this way and now playing this way is going to affect his trade value. I want to say again, ESPN reporting that Brooklyn and Philadelphia are the lead candidates for a trade. Could happen today, could happen by the end of the day, could happen in the next 5 minutes. Concentration certainly on Philadelphia. My opinion has been that James Harden is James Harden. Everybody, especially Daryl Morey in Philadelphia, knows what you can get when James Harden is engaged. Do you see how he's been playing affecting his trade value at all? Or everyone knows this is just very particular to the situation in Houston?
I do, but not with the Sixers. I mean, Simmons for Harden has been the most logical endgame since before all this started. And Brooklyn can offer whatever Brooklyn can offer if they indeed make an offer. I look at the other teams that have been on the fringes of this, your Denver's, Boston's, Portland's, Toronto's, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of them are looking at this and saying, look, we know when, if and when somebody trades for James Harden, he's going to be James Harden again. He's going to perk up. He's going to score. He's going to draw contact. He's going to start playing harder. He's going to be who he's always been. But what this does tell us is, what happens if things go sideways a little bit with us after we get James Harden? Mm-hmm. What happens if we struggle? What happens if somebody gets hurt? What happens if he decides he doesn't like the coach? Well, what does that look like? Is he going to do this to us? Is he going to do the same thing he's doing at Houston because things don't go exactly the way he wants? And if you're just on the fringes, if you've just dipped your toe in, that might be enough to just say, you know what? We really like Jaylen Brown. He's really good. We really like Michael Porter Jr. He's really good. We don't really need to get involved in this. And I'm not saying that that's happened in those places, but I know that a lot of teams that have been on the fringes are watching very closely and debating that very discussion.
All right. Well, we will begin monitoring, watching. We got 8 more minutes left in the show. Maybe it'll happen in the next 8 minutes. Who knows? Stay tuned. In the meantime, here's what The Jump recommends for today on ESPN Plus. Brian Windhorst charting the next steps in Zion Williamson's journey. Now, we just learned that Zion is out for the game tonight against the Clippers due to health and safety protocols. That's interesting. Article still a very good read. We'll be breaking down tonight's ESPN doubleheader right after the break. Welcome back. We are pumped for the doubleheader tonight on ESPN. So let's play a little jump ball. First up, the Nets are favored by 5.5 tonight over Brooklyn in the Garden. Zach, who are you picking to win and why?
We've come a long way since I used to jokingly call this game the toilet bowl. Against my better judgment, I'm going with the Knicks. We have the Nets trying to continue to prove they can win without Kyrie wherever he is. To the Knicks off a losing streak, hungry for a win. For some reason, somewhere down in my gut, I smell a big Julius Randle game, a big Austin Rivers game, and a Knicks win. I don't know why.
Well, I know why. It's because the Knicks are playing inspiring basketball right now, and Tibbs got them playing great on the defensive end. And guess what? He's letting them play freely on the offensive end. Julius Randle is balling out of control. Austin Rivers is closing out quarters. RJ Barrett is finally looking like number 2 pick. And by the way, we have yet to see what Kevin Durant is going to look like on a back-to-back since he tore his Achilles. So I'm rolling with the Knicks tonight.
And by the way, guys, Obi Toppin, probable tonight. That would, of course, be his first game in a Knicks uni. It has been so much fun, Perk, watching the development of this Knicks team, even in the short time we have seen them. So I like it. And really, it's not even the wins and losses. They've had a couple bad losses, but the turnaround there seems to be in management and the way the organization is structured feels better. We will see. Okay, over in the nightcap, real quick, guys. Pelicans taking on the Clippers across the street from us here at Staples Center. Clippers were favored by 7 tonight, but now the game has been taken off the board in Vegas. No Zion for New Orleans because of health and safety protocols. Perk, who you got?
I got the Clippers. Guess what? Ty Lue called me and said, Big Perk, why you hating on the Clippers? Guess what, Ty Lue? I'm not. I'm picking y'all to win tonight.
Zach?
Clippers! Gotta get it in. Clippers.
That's it. James Harden Trade Watch continues. See you tomorrow.